Hi, I'm Priya. I'm an alcoholic. I really appreciate that Elizabeth took the time to ask me how to pronounce my name. That meant a lot to me. People pronounce it wrong sometimes, so thank you. And thank you guys for having us here. We got to do a drive up here. Me and one of my best friends, Kimani, who's the main speaker, and her new sponsee, Reina, who has one day today. And it was really fun to have one day, 1 year, and almost 4 years, like in the car for like an hour. It's like what we all have in common is that we're all alcoholics, so we were just talking like the whole ride up here. And it's just the kind of conversation that I don't have with like normal people, like the kind of conversation I haven't had until I got sober. So that's amazing. So my sobriety date is April 2nd, 2024. I have a sponsor, her name is Yvonne S., and my home group is the Pacific Group. And I'll just share kind of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I'm an alcoholic that believes that I was born an alcoholic. And so I see alcoholism looking back, like since I was a little kid. When I was like 10 years old, I had an obsession with orange juice. So like I would like literally cry if there was no orange juice in the house, and I'd beg my dad to like go to the store and buy orange juice. So like one time it was like the end of the night, and I was on FaceTime with my best friend, and I was waiting to like get picked up to go get frozen yogurt with like my other third grade friends, and there was like a jug of orange juice in the fridge, so I like chugged a bunch of it. And I remember like being on FaceTime and like laughing the hardest I'd ever laughed in my life. And like then I got picked up and I got to go to frozen yogurt, and I had so much fun. At the end of the day, I was like, if I can just make every single day exactly like that, then I'll be okay. And like years later, I found out that that orange juice was like half vodka. And I didn't know. Like, even when I didn't know that I was drinking alcohol, it still fixed me at 10 years old. I knew something about that day was, like, magical. It was the hardest I'd laughed in my life. I felt connected with all of my friends. I enjoyed something simple, like going out to frozen yogurt. Like, things when I was 10 years old, like, if I didn't have the alcohol in my system, it would have been me feeling out of place, me feeling like I said something wrong or embarrassing, or is that girl actually friends with me? Like, does she actually like me? Or, like, oh, no, this is going to end soon. Like, I'm going to go home. Just, like, in my head, not present, not connected to anyone. I wouldn't have, like, seen the colors or laughed like I did when I had alcohol in my system. So basically, what I'm saying is that alcohol would give me an instant spiritual experience, or even something as simple as like instantly being present and appreciating what's right in front of me, and I can't do that on my own. So growing up, my mom would tell me and my little sister, you have addiction in your genes, like be careful, don't do drugs, don't drink or anything. So I was scared of it for a long time, but like my senior year of high school, I remember like I finally willingly like drank for the first time, and my first night drinking at like a college frat party, I was like sliding off of the toilet, like breaking the toilet while peeing, like laying on the front porch crying with like my best friend. But I remember like when I first took that shot, like this room of people that seemed scary, it became like exciting and interesting. So the way that I am naturally, alcohol was like a perfect solution for it. But as that progressed and I went off to college, I like grew up a little bit, it turned into deeper depressions, like higher anxieties, more diagnoses from psychiatrists, more medication to be on. It turned into like me speeding down Pacific Coast Highway going 100 miles an hour after not sleeping for like 6 days, and like almost crashing into things because I was falling asleep and like laughing about it because I thought it was funny because I was starting to like lose my mind. I was like standing on top of a parking garage on my college campus, and I thought that if I jumped off that I would just like respawn like I was in a video game, or I would fly. Like, I genuinely believe that. I used to walk around the campus at 4 a.m. with my taser, and I'd sing songs and just be by myself, but every time I would get in an alleyway, I'd start buzzing the taser and being like, I know you're there, like, to scare anyone off. But like the biggest thing was like inside, I just was crumbling apart like bit by bit. And I would go to treatment centers, that's what I called it. I wouldn't call it rehab. And I would go and I'd be like, I don't have a problem with drugs or alcohol. I'm just here to fix whatever's wrong with my mind. And then I won't have to rely on drugs and alcohol. That's not the problem. That's what the only thing that works. So I'm not going to take away the only thing that's working. I have to fix everything else. And my first experience with the first step with like powerlessness and unmanageability was that I didn't know how to fix myself. Like, I tried everything. I tried drugs and alcohol. I tried friends. I tried boys. I tried different boys. I tried I tried trips. I tried transferring colleges. I tried meditation a little bit, like exercise, whatever. But I was like suicidal and I didn't know what to do. So I checked myself into another treatment center. I announced it to my whole family on Christmas at the dinner table and then cried for like 30 minutes and just the self-centeredness. I didn't think at all about what that would do to them. That's how they spent their Christmas 2023. I went to treatment, and this treatment center, this rehab, they wouldn't let me skip the AA meetings. And I didn't throw like a fit about it because like I got to go with my friends and I had a car, so I would drive us to different meetings, like whoever could fit in my car, like a bunch of guys from Oklahoma usually. And I remember that they were begging me like over and over, like, Priya, like, you make music, you're a songwriter, we really want to go to this music meeting. Like, please, can we go to this music meeting? And week after week, I would be like, no, I don't want to go. It's too far. It's in, like, Culver City. We were in North Hollywood. I was like, I don't want to drive. And some random week, they asked me, like, on a Monday, and it was on Friday. They're like, we're asking you ahead of time. Can we please go? I was like, okay, fine, we'll go. So then Friday came. We go to this music meeting. And at this point, I was, like, 90 days sober. But no sponsor, no program, no steps, like no regular meetings. And I'm sitting in this music meeting and this girl was the main speaker. And she just spoke about the way that she crumbled apart inside, like the same exact way that I did. And then she performed some songs that she wrote. And like, I just wanted to cry. And I just went up to her after and I was like, will you sponsor me? And I didn't think I was an alcoholic still, but I wanted her to like diagnose me. I was like, she's a professional alcoholic, so she can give her professional opinion on if I'm an alcoholic or not. So like my first few calls with her were me being like, so like, what about now? Like, do you think I'm an alcoholic now? And she'd be like, just come to the meeting tonight. And I'd be like, okay, we'll talk tomorrow. Like, we'll discuss further. I'd tell you more of my story. And somewhere in between, like the calls and the meetings and the watches, which is something we do where we watch someone turn a year sober at Denny's at midnight. And I went on this thing called Mountain High, which was like a trip in the mountains with a bunch of AA people, and just like working my first step for the first time and writing what alcohol really was to me. Like at some point, like I did realize that I am an alcoholic. And all of those other diagnoses like fell away, and that part of that, like that crumble of my soul or whatever it was inside of me, like started being built up just like piece by piece with like things I was experiencing with having a whole group around me and working the steps with a good sponsor. I started to like actually learn who I am, because I didn't even realize I had no idea who I was until I was sitting at a fellowship and we were playing like a game with like deep questions, and every time it came to me, I just would draw a blank. And then step work and finding a higher power, like I started to realize like who I was and what I liked doing. Like I'm a creative, I'm a songwriter, like I do like helping people, like, oh, being of service actually does feel good. Like little stuff like that, it just started to build me into like a real person. And showing up to the meetings, it helped me like show up to work. It helped me show up to my mom's like chemo appointments when she had cancer in my first year. it helped me, the traditions, like principles before personalities, it helped me show up for people, build relationships that I didn't necessarily like have an easy time doing. So I got a lot more than I honestly deserved, and I'm just gonna keep coming back to see what happens next. So thanks.